everybody. This is Lauren.
And this is Anastasia.
You're listening to Wait to Panic, a podcast where two friends take turns trying to scare one another shitless. This week, it's Anastasia's turn.
Oh, yeah.
Woohoo!
So I decided that since we can't travel, I'm just traveling through stories.
Love it.
Which is kind of the best way to travel, right? I mean, you don't have to pay for anything.
It's free, so long as you have internet access.
So today, we're going to Norfolk, England.
Okay.
And one day we'll maybe get there for real.
I mean, I hope so. I haven't been to Europe.
We need to do happies first, because I don't have one. But okay. We need to do them.
Okay, let's do happies. Well, I'm happy because we are moved. We are in our new home.
Yes.
And I have an actual oven, and it's been wonderful. I've been going pastry crazy and baking, and it's delightful.
And there haven't been any smoke alarms?
No smoke alarms. No false fire alarms. So that's my happy.
My happy is going to be a cop-out, and I'm really happy to be recording this back in my closet and not at my parents' house. Because I kind of scared the shit out of myself last week.
Fair.
good times.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's my happy. I'm back in my nice, quiet, peaceful closet where there's hopefully no one outside it waiting to murder me.
I mean, there's no one behind you, so that's good. Good start.
Nope, just a dress. okay. So, back to our story. We are in Norfolk, England. And for over... Do you know anything about the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a spooky one. And kind of sad, too. I mean, most spooky ones are a little sad. But we'll get into it. So for over 400 years, Raynham Hall was the seat of the Townshend family. And so the hall itself gave its name to the five village estates that became known as the Raynhams. Which is really posh sounding, like everything.
It is very posh sounding. So fancy. The Raynhams.
Hmm. The Raynhams. So Raynham Hall is considered to be one of the most splendid of the great houses of Norfolk. They began building in 1619, but it wasn't until 1622 that the work actually began. They kind of just like laid the plans for it 3 years before, but didn't have their shit together to actually start building. By the time that Sir Roger Townshend died in 1637, the hall was nearly complete, save for a couple rooms here and there. Little finishing touches. Sir Roger Pratt, who was an architect, he came to view the hall not long after the other Sir Roger passed away and said that there was somewhat in it divine in the symmetry of proportions of length, height, and breadth, which was harmonious to the rational soul. So, all in all, very beautiful house. It was built in what was considered to be such a new fashion that if you saw it, you would assume it was from a different time period than it actually was. Like, it looks Ooh. Like it was built nearly a century later than it really was.
Trendsetters,
very much. So, it's all well and good to talk about the pretty house, but we do have a real story here.
Okay.
So most fans of the paranormal have seen the iconic photo of the Brown Lady descending the staircase at Raynham Hall. And you haven't, so I will send it to you after this, but I'll be too clicky otherwise.
Okay, I can
Or you can Google it, whichever. In 1713, Charles Townshend marries Dorothy, who is the sister, if you're also like me and you're uncultured, you don't know who this is. Robert Walpole. He was Britain's first de facto prime minister. And I didn't know that because, again, uncultured swine over here. They don't teach us that.
American education system doesn't cover other countries. What?
It's,
no.
It's terrible. But the Walpole's ancestral home was Houghton Hall. And Dorothy was the unlucky 13th child to Robert Walpole and Mary Burwell, and she was born September 18th, 1686, out at Houghton Hall. I think I'm saying that right. I don't know.
It sounds right. Granted, I know nothing about this story, so maybe don't trust me.
Right, we've never claimed that we're going to pronounce anything even remotely correctly. If it really bothers you guys, tell us how to say it.
Yep.
So, Charles, to give you an idea of how blah he is, he was also nicknamed Turnip Townshend.
Oh, no, buddy.
He was really into farming turnips, which is weird, but whatever. He played a very strong role in the British Agricultural Revolution, and he was a very enthusiastic advocate of growing turnips as a field crop for livestock, as well as barley, clover, and wheat. But Raynham Hall was where he did most of his crop experimentation.
Okay.
And he really liked turnips.
I'm sorry. It sounds like a really important thing that he did, but it sounds so boring when you call it just turnip farming. Agriculture, important, but oh gosh.
Yep, but your nickname's Turnip. So Charles, he is the second Viscount Townshend. Charles is the second Viscount Townshend, because I'm going with that now, and Dorothy is his second wife. There are two versions to Dorothy's story, but both start in pretty much the same way. So it starts in kind of a creepy way, by our standards, not by then, but I still don't like it. So Dorothy's grandfather is made the guardian of Charles when Charles was only 13. When Dorothy reached age 15, he fell deeply in love with her and asked to marry her. By this point, he's 12 years older than her. And I've got nothing against age gaps when you're adults, but if you find a teenager attractive and you want to marry her,
something wrong.
Vomitous. Like, just, ugh. Also, I love your sweatshirt. Makes me happy. So Dorothy's father or grandfather, maybe it's her father, I don't know. Dorothy's father, I'm going with that one, gets a gold star here. He refuses Charles' proposal.
Yay!
Mostly out of concern for being accused of wanting the Townshend money and properties rather than concern for his daughter. But whatever, still refuses. I'll take what I can get. So, at this point, the story kind of diverges a little bit. Dorothy, by all accounts, was a very beautiful, charming woman whose, they said her adoration of pretty clothing verged on the edge of, quote, overly extravagant. So, she liked shopping, which, all right. I mean, you find what hobbies you can. I'm not going to judge.
Okay, well, was she 15 at this point still?
I assume so.
Okay, because I'm just going to say, 15-year-olds, they're working on trying to figure out their style. I like shopping then, too.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was, like, how she was viewed at the time was really liking shopping, or if this was just a lifelong thing. It kind of seems like it was a lifelong thing as we went on, but...
Fashion!
Right, she just loved clothing. But Dorothy's beauty and charm were the main reasons that Charles was so drawn to her, which is a surprise to no one, even if it is gross. So, one side of the story goes, I prefer this one, that Dorothy did not share Charles's feelings and found him revolting.
Yes!
Charles was known for having a bit more of a violent temper, so I can't really blame her for not liking him. So the other side of the story says that her father's rejection of Charles's marriage proposal drove her into the frivolous life of parties and scandalous behaviors to help her forget her broken heart. Which, I mean, you go have fun, girl.
Bish, that doesn't sound like you were forgetting a broken heart. It sounds like you were having a fucking good time.
Right. But... if this side of the story is true, it's what led her to becoming the mistress, supposedly, of the well-known ne'er-do-well Lord Wharton.
Hmm.
to give you an idea of Lord Wharton's playboy ways. He was described as a man who, quote, had a character so infamous and his lady's complacent subserviency so notorious that no young woman could be 24 hours under their roof with the safety remaining to her reputation.
So what you're saying, he's a smooth talker and knows his way around the ladies.
He had quite the silver tongue. Silver tongue? Golden tongue? I don't know.
It's some silver kind of tongue for metal. The saying, but that just makes me think of all sorts of terrible cunnilingus jokes.
Fair point.
Because you know that there were rumors going around about that if a lady is actually jumping into bed with him.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah. Yeah, supposedly Dorothy became Lord Wharton's mistress, which I don't know if she did, but it sounded like she had a fun time getting there, so whatever.
Also sounds like he had a lot of them. Probably had some friends.
Yep. But Charles, denied of Dorothy, goes on to marry his first wife, Elizabeth Pelham, and it was a fairly short-lived marriage, and she passed away in 1713.
Probably childbirth.
Probably childbirth. So fate brings Charles and Dorothy back together again, and the two finally get married. Yay. Shocker. Do you think it was a happy marriage?
What? A 12-year age gap did not produce pure bliss? Huh?
Shock gasps everywhere. The crowd's mazed. But they're not, because they were married not long after Charles's first wife died. Nothing like a new marriage to get over the old one, right?
I have no words. I wanted to say something really snarky, but it just makes me so sad.
So they were married for about 13 years, which is a recurring number.
Okay.
They had 7 children during that time, one of which passed away before reaching a year of age. Which, you do the math on that, that's a lot of babies to pop out.
That's too many children.
Like, it's a lot of babies in general, but in 13 years, that's, like, what, 6 years where you weren't pregnant?
There probably wasn't a consecutive year, is my guess.
No. God, I hope not. I don't know. That's just so many babies.
It's too many babies.
Too many babies. But Charles, his love of Dorothy, which had gone on for so long, once they were actually married, didn't last a really long time.
So did Charles mistake lust for love? Because that's what it sounds like. Sounds like he wanted to bang Dorothy, and then he got to, and he got bored.
That could be part of it, but there's another...
Oh, dear.
...bit to it. So, I mean, not a huge surprise that he fell out of love with her, to be honest, but still, sad face. He was kind of a really big asshole about it, though.
Oh.
Now, I have my suspicions why he was such a dick, but I want you to be the judge of this. So he ended up depriving her of her children and sent them to be cared for by his mother. So you can imagine that didn't go over great with Dorothy. She was pretty miserable without her kids. Her husband now seemed to hate her, and he was rumored to have basically confined her to her rooms at Raynham. Which, I'll be honest, like, as an introvert, that doesn't sound like a terrible punishment nowadays, but back then, that had to be super duper boring.
Did she at least have, like, a Beauty and the Beast level library or something?
Oh, I hope so.
Because, like, you don't have Netflix. That, like, that makes being alone right. Very easy. But... like, Netflix makes being alone very easy. Not having it. Not having Netflix makes being alone quite difficult.
Yeah. That's why I said, like, doesn't sound terrible nowadays. Sounds really boring back then.
Yeah.
But we all love a good rumor mill, right?
Oh, dear.
So, what do you think made him fall out of love so hard? Just give me your best guess.
Vagina dentata.
Oh, God. I hope it's not that.
Considering how many children they had.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Was she still the mistress of the other dude?
He found out. The rumor was that he found out that Dorothy had been Wharton's mistress, which, I mean, frankly, if you didn't know about it by now, then, I mean, gossip is what kept the world running back then.
It still is.
If you didn't have your ear to the ground on that one, like, that's on you. But he found out some of the escapades they used to get into. So discovering her past kind of secret love life around 1725, he locks her up at Raynham and goes like the extra drama llama mile. He tells everyone she died and held a fucking mock funeral.
Oh my good God, Charles, what were you thinking? This is not going to work out well.
She's still alive and he holds a funeral for her.
Was it at the house?
I imagine so.
Oh my gosh.
It would have had to be. I can't imagine where else. Like,
oh my God, he must have told his kids that their mother died.
Yeah, I assume so.
Oh, what a dick move.
Like, frankly, like, somehow, if she had kept all this a secret by some miracle, like, kudos to her, because that had to be a challenge to keep that little black book sealed. But...
okay, but also, let's get real. Who the fuck cares how many people a chick has slept with?
Right? I was like, you thought this pretty, charming lady sat around pining for your dumbass all those years? Please. She went on and had some fucking fun without you, as she should have.
Yep.
Ugh. But in reality, she was just kind of wandering around Raynham Hall as a prisoner. She passed away in 1726 of what was reported to be smallpox. I don't know. Some people say that she starved to death out of depression, which, frankly, I couldn't blame her.
I see that.
But smallpox was the officially documented reason for her death.
So they did find out that he lied about her dying and...
oh, yeah. Or, well, I don't know. Maybe.
Or was smallpox like the fake funeral?
I don't know. They weren't clear on that, so maybe. I mean, I could see him being a big enough dick to just be like, yeah, she died of smallpox. Let's have a funeral.
Paid off the people to get a medical examiner, whatever majig that you would have at that time. I don't know.
Listeners, I wish you could see our facial expressions.
So she died of, like, terrible shit, it sounds like. Either depression and starvation or smallpox or something else.
I mean, either way, boo on Charles for being a dick.
Yep.
Because, like, I had my own little commentary here. I was like, you liked an underage girl, then got mad at her as an adult for moving on and having her fun with her life without you, instead of just being happy you got to marry her eventually. Like, you should have tried to make married life this absolute bliss-filled experience. And you chose to be an ass.
Ah, but here's the problem with pedophiles. They don't care. All they want is to be the first dick in the vagina.
You're not wrong.
Or vice versa, depending on... or other, depending on the gender of the pedophile. But don't do that, it's bad.
Ugh, just what a dick.
Have we been talking about pedophiles a lot lately? I feel like we have.
We have.
Okay, I was like, is it just me? Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, you know, honestly, it's none of his business. And I understand things were difficult or different back then, but
Charles okay, but they were only different because people were still being dicks in different ways. Women aren't property and have never been.
Yeah, I don't even feel bad that she's haunting that house.
Nope.
I mean, I feel bad for her, but not for him. And also, he's dead, too. So, whatever.
Okay, depending on what you tell me about the hauntings, this is what I'm kind of hoping is happening. That she's just wandering around having a good-ass time freaking people out.
I mean, yeah, kinda.
Yes!
Like, but, yeah, Charles didn't get much peace before Dorothy came back and started royally creeping people out.
Yes!
And, like, royally... literally. So George the Fourth,
oh my God,
was right, was the Prince Regent at the time. He came to stay for a visit and he was placed in the state bedroom, as fitting for his title, and things didn't go well. So he woke up the whole house freaked the fuck out because he was woken by a, quote, little lady all dressed in brown with disheveled hair and a face of ashy paleness standing at his bedside. So once the whole house got woken up, he basically goes, I'm not staying another hour in this cursed house, and I hope to God I never have to see what I've seen again. And left.
Damn straight, George, you did the right thing.
Right? Just left in the middle of the night, never came back. Charles, a couple years go by, he passes away in 1738 at the hall, as you do, and things were pretty peaceful for a while. For a little over a century, actually, there were no sightings. So I assume it passes through her and Charles's children, and we're in 1849 now, and Dorothy shows back up. Major Loftus, who is a relative of the new Lord and Lady Charles Townsend, the third Viscount now, so we're on the next generation, Major Loftus was staying at Raynham Hall, and he was up late one night playing chess with another guest. As they were headed up to bed in the early morning hours, he was startled to see a woman wearing a brown dress standing on the landing of the stairs. He didn't recognize her as a guest and goes to speak with her, only for her to vanish into thin air. He did one better than George, though. So he was bound and determined that he was going to see her again.
Oh!
So he sticks around. And he waits up the next night, hoping to catch a glimpse of this strange lady, and he managed to come face to face with her that night. By the light of the lamp, he saw her, and with perfect clarity, he described her as wearing a richly brocaded brown dress with her hair coiffed on her head, and instead of eyes, he was horrified to only see two dark, hollowed-out eye sockets.
Oh.
Which, by lamplight, really fucking creepy. By normal lights, also really creepy, but yeah. Somehow, he had the mental fortitude to go back to his room, and he sketched out what he saw. Like, made a quick little doodle of it, and I feel like everyone, like, we need to bring back teaching art, because I feel like everyone back then was so much better at it than we are. Like, they all knew how to sketch.
That is factual. Also music, also yes, just
art.
All of the arts.
Like, I can do little sad stick figures.
Writing, acting, dancing.
Sketching out a creepy ghost lady.
I mean, I want to see all that shit. Also, I kind of want to go ballroom dancing with ghosts. Is that weird?
No, but I bet they wouldn't step on my toes.
Exactly, and they might help you fly. That sounds fun.
That does. As long as they don't drop me.
I just want to have an Anastasia moment. It's funny, because your name is Anastasia, but I'm talking about the movie.
I came first.
True.
Yeah. But I'm over here agreeing with the let's bring back the arts because...
Yes.
Yeah. So the next morning, he shows the sketch to some of the other guests that are staying there. And it doesn't go the way you'd think, where they're just like, oh, you're crazy. Like, they're all on board.
Oh.
Yeah. And so they all band together and they're like, let's fucking go ghost hunting. And so that's what they did. They weren't successful in seeing her, but they were successful in another, like, horrible way, because the whole staff up and quit. Like, all of the servants gave their notice and just fucking left. So Charles, the third Viscount, said that he'd seen the family ghost a couple times. She'd been around long enough and enough sightings had been seen for her to be known as a family ghost, but he didn't believe that it was a ghost. He thought it was just a practical joke that somehow someone had been playing. I don't understand that, but yeah. But in light of all of his servants quitting, he brings in the police. So they can't find anything. Shocker. No ghosts, no suspects, nothing. So Lord Charles is left to find a whole new set of staff and be alone with his wife and Dorothy's ghosts. They didn't mention any kids, so I assume they didn't have any at this point. I don't know. More time goes by, and Captain Frederick Marriott, who, fun fact, was a friend of Charles Dickens,
Ooh.
He has heard the story, and he comes to say, to stay, and is very insistent that he's not a believer in ghosts. Which, all right, attaboy. He insists on sleeping in the haunted bedroom where Dorothy's painting was hung. Because they had those back then. He believed the ghost to be some... I don't understand his line of logic here, but he didn't think the ghost was anything more than local smugglers who wanted to keep people out of the area. I was like, well, then why are they inside a house? That's fucking weird.
They would be in a forest or something, dude. That doesn't make sense. Your logic is flawed.
On the property? Sure. Inside a house? That's just a bunch of B&Es.
Yeah.
Like, bit of a stretch, but whatever. That's what Captain Marriott thought. But as he was getting ready for bed one night, he had two of the other guests that were staying there. I guess they just had guests all the time. And that sounds horribly annoying to me, but
I mean, maybe it's not so exhausting when you live in a gigantic ass hall
with servants. Yeah,
with servants.
You're right. You don't have to cook for them.
You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean up after them. You don't even necessarily have to see them.
Yeah, fair point. Okay, well, I still don't like people, so my house.
Yep.
Yeah, so there are two other guests that are staying, and so they show up at his bedroom door, and for some reason they couldn't wait the next day, and they wanted his advice on a gun that would be with them at the shooting party the next day, because they had those. Again, probably could wait until the morning, but sure, disrupt his bedtime routine. So the captain, being a helpful soul, he goes with them to take a look at the gun in question. And on his way back to his bedroom, he sees a woman coming towards him. Said her feet made no sound as she crossed over the rug and was undeniably the same woman pictured in his bedroom. He described her as giving him such a diabolical look that he was unable to avoid feeling anything but a mix of fear and anger. And he shot her point blank in the face.
Dude! Was it at least rock salt? I know it wasn't, but for the love of goodness, dude, don't make the spirit angry.
So the bullet, luckily, I don't know what his plan was, if, you know, she hadn't been a ghost and her face basically exploded, but the bullet went straight through her and lodged in the door behind, and he supposedly slept the rest of the visit with a loaded pistol under his pillow, which, bold choice, but you do you, boo.
It didn't work the first time. What good is it going to do the next time?
I don't know. But
also, you don't get to get scared and mad when you insisted on staying in the haunted room. That's your own damn fault.
Right. You knew what you were up against.
And Dottie heard you say she wasn't real. And I'm calling her Dottie now. I've given her a nickname.
That's okay. I love it.
And she was not into it. Kneel before Dottie.
I actually think that was, I want to say they said that was a nickname for her, was Dot. But yeah, the captain goes on to describe it to his daughter Florence, and she wrote it down, so I'm going to read it.
Yay.
So her journal entry goes, "He took possession of the room in which a portrait of the apparition hung, and in which she had often been seen, and slept each night with a loaded revolver under his pillow. For 2 days, however, he saw nothing, and the third was to be the limit of his stay. On the third night, however, two young men, nephews of the baronet, knocked at his door as he was undressing to go to bed and asked him to step over to their room, which was at the other end of the corridor, and give them his opinion on a new gun just arrived from London. My father was in his shirt and trousers, but as the hour was late and everyone had retired to rest except themselves, he prepared to accompany them as he was. As they were leaving the room, he caught up his revolver, in case you meet the brown lady, he said, laughing. When the inspection of the gun was over, the young men in the same spirit declared they would accompany my father back again. In case you meet the brown lady, they repeated, laughing as well. The three gentlemen, therefore, returned in company. The corridor was long and dark, for the lights had been extinguished. But as they reached the middle of it, they saw the glimmer of a lamp coming towards them from the other end. One of the ladies going to visit the nurseries, whispered the young Townsend to my father. Now, the bedroom doors in that corridor faced each other, and each room had a double door with a space between, as is the case in many old-fashioned houses. My father, as I've said, was in shirt and trousers only, and his native modesty made him feel uncomfortable, so he slipped into one of the outer doors, his friends following the example, in order to conceal himself until the lady should have passed by. I have heard him describe how he watched her approaching nearer and nearer through the chink in the door until, as she was close enough for him to distinguish the colors and style of her costume, he recognized the figure as a facsimile of the portrait of the brown lady. He had his finger on the trigger of his revolver and was about to demand it to stop and give the reason for its presence there, when the figure halted of its own accord before the door behind which he stood, and holding the lighted lamp she carried to her features, grinned in a malicious and diabolical manner at him. This act so infuriated my father, who was anything but lamb-like in disposition, that he sprang into the corridor with a bound and discharged the revolver right in her face. The figure instantly disappeared, the figure at which for several minutes three men had been looking at together, and the bullet passed through the outer door of the room on the opposite side of the corridor and lodged in the panel of the inner one. My father never again attempted to interfere with the brown lady of Raynham. Yeah, so that was Florence's account.
Damn.
And so, like, a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've already said, like, she's kind of skull-like in the face. So, like, maybe her malicious and diabolical grin. I mean, cut a girl some slack, okay? Like, we ain't got nothing but eye sockets.
I feel like Dottie's just wandering around that house trying to be friendly, because she was clearly, like, a social person when she was alive.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this dude just got freaked out, and to cover up for his freak-out trigger gun, what's it called? Trigger-happy behavior, said, well, she made me angry. It was malevolent. No,
right.
She was being friendly. You got
and
freaked
frankly,
out.
Frankly, you wanted to see her to start with, so boom, you saw her.
She gave you what you asked for.
Just because she scared the shit out of you. Yeah. But so far, I like Dot. So the famous photograph that most people recognize was as the brown lady was taken in the 1930s by two photographers from Country Life magazine. It was Captain Provand and his assistant Indra Shira. And while they were taking a series of photos of the hall itself, Indra noticed a misty figure coming down the stairs, and he urged the captain to take an exposure. Now, the captain, he didn't see anything, but did it anyway, all while declaring that Indra must have imagined a shaft of light or a trick of the eye. He truly didn't believe that anything would show up when the negative was developed, but Indra insisted, and so the captain went ahead and they developed it. Indra said he'd seen a figure that was transparent enough that the steps could be seen through it. Later, they're developing the negatives, and sure as shit, there's something there. So Indra runs downstairs to the chemist below their studio and brings back Benjamin Jones he's a clerk down there, to verify that they had not tampered with the negative. So experts have also studied the negative and pictures and were satisfied that nothing had been done to tamper with it in any way. There were some accounts that said it was like an overlay of a statue of the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could kind of see it, but you can also kind of definitely tell that there's a lady there. I don't know if the brown lady is real or not, and I really hope that Dorothy is a real thing and she's just getting some like permanent petty revenge on her shitty husband. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I want it to be real, especially because, like, I love the idea of, well, I was locked in those rooms for such a long time. Now I'm just going to wander my house a little bit. Hey, you're here. Let's have a good time.
Right.
It's kind of what Dottie's personality sounds like.
Yeah. And frankly, again, girl deserves to have some fun because shitty husband.
Yeah, he gets the bad husband award.
Yeah. Not even a question there. So,
go Dottie. Scare the shit out of some dudes.
Right? They deserve it. It's fine. I mean, albeit they are also her kids, but I mean, mom's just keeping an eye on you, making sure you're taking care of the place.
Yeah. She just wants to meet her grandkids.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Haunting their asses, maybe not the greatest way, but
I mean, stay close to your family however you can, right? So, you ready for some palate cleansers that aren't really needed, but we're going to do them anyway?
Yes, because I need puns always in my life forever.
I renamed my iPod the Titanic, so when I plug it in, it says the Titanic is sinking.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Kind of dark.
This one took me a minute because I genuinely didn't get it.
Okay.
When life gives you melons, you're dyslexic.
Okay, well, I get that one.
Yeah, that took me longer than I care to admit to be like,
I have to tell you, I probably wouldn't have gotten it if you hadn't prefaced it.
Yeah, because I've been staring at it for like the last minute or two being like, how the fuck does that make you dyslexic? I was like, oh, wait, lemons, melons, got it.
Anagrams.
I play Nancy Drew. I got this.
You can sleuth it out.
I got it. Will glass coffins be a success? It remains to be seen.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no.
Oh, no. This one's terrible.
Tell me.
I lost my job at the bank on my first day. A woman asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over.
Oh! That's not what she meant.
But it's funny.
Yep.
Two windmills are standing on a wind farm. One asks, what's your favorite kind of music? The other goes, I'm a big metal fan.
literal. God, I love puns.
I love puns. Guys, if you have puns, send them to us.
Please.
Like, we love them. It doesn't matter how dumb they are. We'll read them. Don't think for a minute we won't.
We might just use them on the podcast. So,
Speaking of, give me a minute, because we had one of our listeners actually do that.
Ooh, yay!
So now we have to find it. Ba-ba-ba. Groups. My group.
Got a huffy puppy over here.
So, Katie shared this in our WTP podcast group, which if you're not there, we would love to have you join us. Mm-hmm. She has been enjoying our puns, and so she sent this one in. My uncle accidentally drank a bottle of invisible ink. He's at the hospital now, waiting to be seen.
Oh, nice, Katie.
Oh, we love it.
I love that so much. That's such a good one. Very vivid mental image. I can just imagine a person sitting there like, for fuck's sake.
Made me happy. And then since it's Thanksgiving, or was just Thanksgiving, I'm going to end it on this one because it makes me chuckle. There's a picture that goes with it, but it still makes me laugh either way. What do you call the ghost of a chicken? We'll pretend it's a turkey.
What?
A poultrygeist. But yeah, that's all I got. So that's all for this week. Thanks for listening, and check back next Sunday for another episode. If you need some extra spookums, I'll stop being lazy and write some more mini stories. So head over to our website at waittopanic.com. And as always, if you have a story to share, send us an email at waittopanicpodcast@gmail.com. Make good choices, and remember, wait to panic.